fire may be able to give heat to our physical body, but that does not really satisfy our real longing. Because however warm the physical body may be, if the heart is not feeling the warmth of the love of God's people, then the heart will always be suffering due to that coldness. Because God's love comes to this world through those people who are giving their lives to generating that love, God's love. And it is the nature of each and every one of us to be an instrument of God's love to everyone we meet within this world. And that is really the pleasure that the soul is longing for, to commune again with God's love through God's people. So, this evening, we are meeting together here really for this purpose, to warm each other's hearts by filling one another's hearts with the remembrance of the presence of God in all of our lives. And really, this is the purpose of chanting His holy names. When we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, it is not simply the type of song and dance that so many people in this world find entertainment by performing. But when we chant the name of God, we are attentively calling out for the Lord. And there is a beautiful story to explain how we should learn to call out for the Lord. This is a story that is spoken in the great scriptures of India. It is about a man, a very wealthy man, a very prestigious man, a man of great power and influence. And once he was walking, and somehow or other, he did not calculate exactly where he was, and he slipped and fell off a very, very, very deep cliff. This cliff was so far down, it seemed to him like miles as he was falling down this straight cliff. You can imagine the fear in his heart. What could he do to save himself? He was helpless. There was nothing he could do. And just when he was about to lose all hope while falling at great speed, there happened to be one branch of one tree in the center of this steep wall-like cliff, and he grabbed onto that branch and he held on. There was really no tree, there was just one branch, and he was holding on. And he was looking up. And there was no way for him to go up. And he was looking down. And there was only one way for him to go down. And that was to meet his death. So he did not know what to do. He was powerless. He was hopeless. He was helpless. So in that condition, do you know what he did? He called out to God. He called out in a helpless state of mind. And then he heard God's voice. And God's voice told him, if you want me to protect you, you have to let go of the branch. He looked down. To let go of the branch means to die. By all practical terms. And he looked up. He was in a hopeless situation. And the voice repeated, if you want me to really protect you, you have to have faith and let go. What do you think he did? If he tried to hang on, he could hang on for some time, but eventually he would fall. And if he fell in that way, he would hit the ground and die. But if he would simply let go now, God promised that will save you. So this is our condition in this world. That we are all hanging from this branch. And we can hold on as long as we can to our attachments in this world, to our material calculations in this world. But factually, it is just a matter of time till we have to let go. And when we let go, we fall down and lose everything. But if, at this very time, we are willing to simply let go with faith in God and chant his holy name in the spirit, then and only then will God truly save us. And this is real religion. And this is what every great religious teacher has ever taught throughout history. When Jesus was with his disciples, he told, they were saying, you want us to go out and preach your message? Where will we get our food? Where will we get our clothes? And Jesus told them that, you see, the bees and the birds, God is providing them their meals so nicely. They are not working. And the lilies in the field, they are dressed more elegantly than Solomon in all of his glory. If God is providing for all of these creatures of the earth who are simply willing to live in harmony with him, you do not think that he will provide for one who is surrendered to him? This does not mean that we have to live in the jungles throughout our lives, although most of us are quite happy living here. Maybe we should. Actually, maybe someday we'll have to. What is the loss? There's really nothing to lose, ever, if we have proper faith.
in understanding.
But whether we are living in a big city in a nice house, or whether we are living in the jungles of Colorado, really what this means is that we must understand that nothing is ours. Everything is the property of the Supreme Lord. Because proprietorship means control. If you own something, no one can take it away. But our bodies and all of our possessions, they are factually, they are being used by us like a lease. We are borrowing. Because ultimately, today or tomorrow, everything is taken away, including our own body, including our own intelligence, including all of our creative abilities, all of our wealth, our family members, everything. The fact that nature has the power to take all of these things away means that all of these things belong to nature. They don't belong to us at all. So to simply accept this fact is real knowledge. To accept that everything is the property of God. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatramam shantim rachchuti. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that people all over the world are looking for peace. Most people that are coming to this rainbow gathering are people of high ethics who are really and truly looking for peace and trying to not only seek peace in their own lives but create a situation of peace in the world. And all over the world there are various peace movements in every country, in every society. People are frustrated with chaos and greed and war and conflict. But we must understand what is the true formula for attaining peace. Not just superficially trying to create a more livable situation under this circumstance or that circumstance. Real peace can only come about in this world when each individual of this world finds peace within his own heart. It cannot be created in its truth by any amount of UN delegations or by any amount of marches through the streets with placards. Peace has to generate from the heart of the people of the world. And Krishna says in this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, it's a very simple formula, that one who simply understands that everything is the property of God and utilizes everything in the service of God with full faith that God is the true friend of every living being, that person attains eternal, everlasting, infinite peace. That is all that is required. What are all the wars in the world based on? What are all the conflicts in the world based on? This misconception that I am this body and those things in relationship to this body are mine. If those two misconceptions were negated, what would we have to argue about? What would we have to fight about? If I think that I am this body, that means I think that you are your body. And I'm a man and you're a woman. And I'm white and you may be red or black or yellow. Or I may be Hindu and you may be a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim. Or I may be educated and you may be uneducated. Or I may be poor and you may be rich. I may be high class, you may be low class. Huh? I may be American, you may be Indian, you may be Russian, you may be Pakistani, you may be African. Huh? All nationalism, all racism, all sectarianism, which is the root of so much conflict in the world, is based on the misconception And I think I'm this body, and you think you're this body. And as long as we think we're this body, there is no question of peace, because there will always be this conflict, because there will be so many distinctions between us. And if I think I am this body and you think you're this body, then those things in relationship to this body are mine. Therefore, this is my land. This is my country. But when we're looking for land, fighting over wealth, the rich want to get richer, the poor want the wealth of the rich. In the streets, there is so much conflict. People are robbing, people are raping, all on the basis of I and mine. And due to the complete frustration, people are turning to drugs and becoming addicts and going crazy in so many ways. The root cause of all the problems in this world is the misconceptions of I and mine. So who am I, and what is mine? If we can simply understand this, we can attain everlasting infinite peace. And we can generate that throughout the world. Who am I? Am I this body? This body is always changing. This body is a vehicle. At the time of death, the body remains. But we are gone. So who are we? We are the consciousness. We are the soul. We are part of God. We are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. That is our eternal identity. To theoretically understand it is a beginning, but to practically realize it is the most important responsibility of every human being. To realize the self, to realize God, Krishna, who has many names, who has descended in this world in many forms, who has spoken the same essential truth to all the great scriptures of time. When we realize that I am part of God, I am the eternal servant of God, then we realize that everything is meant to be offered as a sacrifice to the Lord. And what does sacrifice mean? To sacrifice means to make something sacred. The Latin word sacrifice means to make sacred. To make everything in this world sacred is the most beautiful virtue of life. And how do we make everything in this world sacred? By offering it to the Supreme. Whatever we have, Krishna says in Gita, Yat karoshi yarashnashi, yaj duhoshi tatasina, yat tapasyasi kontaya tat kurusha madarbhanam. That all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, everything should be done as an offering of love to the Supreme Lord. When you water the root of a tree, automatically every leaf, every branch, every twig is nourished. But if you try to pour the water on each leaf, each branch, and each twig, what happens? The whole tree will die. So God is the root of all that exists. Krishna says in Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate iti matva varante mambhuta bhava samandita. That I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. To worship God, to worship Krishna, and to love Krishna means to be the kindest brother or sister to all of Krishna's creation. and to offer whatever we have for the benefit of all living beings by utilizing it in the service of Krishna. So whether we are here living in the jungles and we offer a little food and we share it with our brothers and sisters, or we offer some music and we share it with our brothers and sisters, or we offer whatever hospitality that our hearts may be able to find and offer it to our brothers and sisters in the name of God, it is a simple process. Or whether we are living in a home, in a city, with a family, to utilize everything in relationship to God through service. That is how we can find real, eternal, true peace in our life. And it is practical. It is something that everyone can do. It is a yoga, it is a religion that can be practiced 24 hours a day, not just a few minutes in the morning and a few minutes in the evening. But to develop this type of consciousness, we must associate with that which will purify our heart and bring about this revolution of consciousness. And that is why it is so important to associate with spiritually minded people, to unite with them. And when spiritually minded people unite, what do they want to do together? They simply want to serve God together, to glorify God together. And one of the most beautiful and wonderful ways of uniting each other's hearts and creating that true peace within is what we have been doing this evening, to chant the holy names of the Lord in congregation. This creates one another in the name of God. Factually, we have seen that during the kirtans, when everyone is dancing, even the mosquitoes, you don't even notice they're there. The people not dancing are going like this. We don't notice it because we forget. We forget that we're even in this material world. There's no heat, there's no cold. The material world ceases to exist when we immerse ourselves in the congregational chanting of the holy name. Even worst of enemies, when they enter into the kirtan together of the holy name, they forget that they're enemies. And they love each other as brothers and sisters. Huh? What is the saying? The family that prays together stays together. When we are chanting the holy names, this is such a wonderful form of prayer. And how it brings everyone together to joyfully celebrate the glory of God. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, he came to teach us that there is no process that is more simple and sublime for reawakening our original love of God, which is dormant within us, and reunifying and re-spiritualizing human society than the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we find people take prasad because it is spiritual food which is offered in sacrifice. What type of sacrifice? The devotees cook with great care and devotion as much as they can, and they offer that food to the Lord with prayer. And whatever we offer to the Lord with prayer, that thing becomes as sacred as God Himself. It becomes prasad. The Sanskrit word prasad literally means the mercy of God. And when we take that prasad, we become, by contact with that prasad, we become spiritualized. I remember in Athens, Ohio, I was teaching a course in vegetarian cooking at Ohio University. And one day, one very, very learned student who was also, he was a student of working on his PhD in philosophy. He came to the class. And I could see that he wasn't expecting a Hare Krishna devotee to be teaching this class. Because usually when you go to a college class, Hare Krishna devotees are not teaching. So, he was looking uncomfortable. And I was teaching how to make chapatis. It's like probably half this room were making chapatis. So he came, I was teaching chapatis. So I said, "You want to learn?" He just looked at me like, and I gave him rolling pin. I said, "You go like this." So, like, everyone was looking at him, so he was embarrassed. So he went like this. So then we served prasad, and he was just looking at the prasad, and I just went up to him and I said, "How do you like the prasad?" And he just said, "It's all right." So he came the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and then one day, and every week, the only thing I said to him is, "How do you like the prasad?" By the fifth week, he said, "It's good." By the sixth week, he said, "It's very good." By the seventh week, he said, "You know something? I have to make a confession. When I first came into this room and I saw who you were, I was thinking, if this person tries to preach to me anything, I'm going to walk out and never come back." I said, "I've been here 7 weeks. You haven't tried to preach to me at all. You're just giving me all this nice food." But I can't understand this. You're completely bewildering my mind. Why don't you try to preach to me? If you do try to preach to me, I'm going to leave. But you don't try to preach to me. What is your philosophy? I want to know, what is your philosophy? I said, "If I tell you, you will not leave." He said, "No, I want to know." So I told him. I just explained, basically, what I have just been telling you. And he said, "That's very nice. You Hare Krishnas are very nice." He said, "Do you have any books?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I want to buy some." I said, "Well, which one do you want?" We had a book table. He said, "I'll buy all of them." He bought all of them. Then he came back the next week. And he said, "I didn't go to any classes this week. I just read these books." And it talks all about this chanting. "What is this chanting?" So I taught him how to chant. So he started to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Huh. And then the next week he came back and he said, I want to become a Hare Krishna. What do I have to do? I said, you don't have to do anything. You are right. You already are one. Everyone's a Hare Krishna. Some know it and some don't. What does Hare Krishna mean? Hare Krishna means a devotee of God. Whether one is a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew, whatever you want to call it, Hare Krishna means a devotee of God. So then he said, I want to help you. So he was teaching. He was actually a teacher of philosophy classes. He had 6 classes a week, I think. And he got every teacher in the entire philosophy department to invite me to speak in their classes about Krishna. So for weeks, I was just every day just speaking like this. And then he became student organization and like that. Just 2 weeks ago, I got a call from him in Japan. He's a professor with a PhD in Japan, and he was asking me to come and teach cooking classes in Japan. He said, I'm still chanting. You'll be proud of me, I'm still chanting. Another incident happened when I was teaching this cooking class at Ohio University. Because of this person, it began, the class was 12 people, because we had a little room given to us. But then this person had so much influence. His name is Greg. He and his girlfriend, Shelley, they both started coming, and they became president of a student organization, and they got us a room where 200 people fit. And we were getting 200 people every Wednesday night for this class. And what happened is there was a fundamentalist group that did not like that we were teaching this class because it was becoming popular. So they went to the dean of students and said, these Hare Krishnas, they are going to brainwash the whole college if you don't kick them out right away. Of course, my Guru Dev, Srila Prabhupada, used to say, that if their brains are dirty, why do they object if we want to wash them? Prabhupada was a 75-year-old Bengali saint. And the devotees came and said, Prabhupada, they are telling, he didn't know all these sayings of America, brainwash. He said, Prabhupada, they are trying to destroy our movement. They are saying that we are brainwashing children. And Prabhupada was so innocent, he just said, if their children's brains are dirty, why do they mind if we wash them? They should let us wash their brains too. So anyway, the leader of this fundamentalist group, we have the greatest love and respect for all real Christians. But like in every religion, some people, they are not really understanding the essence. They become very fanatical and sectarian. We are not to judge them, but sometimes we have to deal with them. So they went to the dean, and the dean became very afraid. A cult has come. They are brainwashing. So they closed down the class. So I went Wednesday night to this cafeteria in the basement of a dormitory, and the doors were locked. And the students, they all came, 200 students. I said, they're not allowing me to teach this class because I am supposed to be brainwashing you. So they said, no, you are giving us prasad, that's all. So all 200 students went to the dean's office and said, we're all going to quit school and have a strike if you don't allow this person to teach this class. Oh. So the dean said, all right,
So then, this band of these people, these nice fundamentalist people, they decided to monitor the class. Do you want to hear the rest of the story?
Yeah.
This is a true story. You may not believe it, but it's true. I don't know how everyone thinks and why. I'm a simple man myself. But they came with these big, big Bibles, this big. And they came in like this, using them as shields so that our energies would not penetrate their hearts. They came in like this. They were just very grave. So I was teaching that week. I remember when they came in, there was 200 students, and I was teaching how to make curd. You know curd? You take milk and you add lemon juice to it and it becomes curds and whey. Right? Now, they were expecting us to be very satanic, demoniac people with all black, you know, magic and everything. So I was teaching curds and whey. So they were back there like this, and everybody else was just learning, you know, very nice students. They were, like this, very nice. So I said, you know, has anyone ever heard of Curds and Whey before? He said, no. Don't you know that poem? Little Miss Muffet sat on a satin, eating her curds and whey. Along came the spider and sat down beside her, and Little Miss Muffet ran away. You know that? I don't know if it's right, but you've heard that? Anyways, I recited that. And the Christians started laughing. So then it came for prasad. They came and they took prasad. They came with their Bibles like this. They took little prasad. So the next week they came back. And they just had standard Bibles. And they were just holding them. Not like this. They were just holding them. And they just watched the class. And they took prasad. And then the next week they came. And the leader just had a little pocket Bible. And they sat for the class and they took prasad. And they were specifically monitoring us. In the next week, the fourth week, he came up to me. And he was very grave and very serious. He hadn't spoken one single word in 4 weeks. He said, I have a very serious question for you. I said, yes? How can I serve you? He had a real serious look. He said, can you give me the recipe for this halava? He said, this is the best food I ever had in my life. How do you make this halava? He said, we're having a church meeting tomorrow night, and I want to make it for all of the members. So I gave him the recipe. And then the next week he came back with his whole church group. Because they all wanted to eat more halva. And then they became very, very dear friends, all of them. He would come every week, and he was a writer for the student newspaper, and he was writing all nice things. And then the last day of school, the last class of the school year, he came up to me, and he said, you know, he said, I really want, he said, my mission in life now is I want to teach Christians how to love and respect other religions. So this is the power of Halava. It's not my halava, it's Krishna's halava. Talk about sacrifice. Everything within this creation. She's teaching us how we should chant Hare Krishna. Cry with that intensity, it will be very great. So to see everything, how it could be connected to Krishna, and to make that connection is to make everything sacred.